Welcome into the Hustle Show podcast. I am Drew Martin, joined by Adam Trigger, Brian Power of WagerTalk.com, and one of my favorites here, Jeff Nadeau at Big Man on at Jeff Nadeau on Twitter, the Big Man on Campus by some. Guys, a reminder here, we are brought to you by Viva Tequila Seltzer. VivaTequilaSeltzer.com. Viva Tequila Seltzer, refreshing and drinkable hard seltzer with 88 calories, zero carbs, zero sugar, 4.5% ABV. Viva, the perfect drink for your pregame or postgame celebrations, as it was created with the active lifestyle in mind. If you use the promo code HUSTLE20 at checkout, VivaTequilaSeltzer.com, it takes 20% off your order. I usually show it right now, but guys, I am out. I drank them all earlier this week, so got to head to the store and grab some more, but make sure to check it out there. On the website, we got big game breakdowns here, NBA, MLB, maybe some soccer coming to you as well. Going around the horn here, Adam Trigger at Top Flight SI on Twitter. Check him out, wagertalk.com. Trigger, happy Wednesday to you, man. Welcome into the show.
Thanks, Drew. Happy Wednesday. Not that I told anyone that I was sick, but I'm feeling better. Drew, I haven't thrown up. I just have to say this real quick. I haven't thrown up since like almost like college. Like I don't get sick. I never get like an upset stomach, stuff like that. Last night, I must have got food poisoning or something. It went from feeling fine to throwing up everything in my system three different times. And I woke up this morning and feel great again. So I don't know what that was, but I'm back. And I've got a nice little MLB streak going, so I hope to keep it going tonight. But yeah, everything else is good.
All right, man. Sports betting podcast starting off with a little upset stomach. But hey, you're throwing out winners on the diamond. That's all right, Adam Trigger. We got Brian Power up next, guys. Check him out at wagertalk.com as well. BP, welcome in, man.
Thanks, Drew. You know, one winner in the books. It looks like it's official. West Ham in the Europa Conference League. That's a winner. Nice start to Wednesday. Unfortunately, the Seattle Mariners need to score and score in a hurry so we can go 2-0 in the afternoon. But doing great, Drew. Glad to be here. 5% NBA play going up tonight in game three. 2-for-2 so far in the finals. And the last time I puked was definitely that Rams-Bengals Super Bowl. Probably the most I've ever puked in my life. I will never ever forget that Super Bowl. I must have puked 20 times over the course of those 4 hours. Just thought I'd throw that out there. It was bad. And then I lost the game by a hook too. So that made me puke even more.
That sounds like a terrible evening. Oh man. It was. I guess we could get into that. You know, bad Super Bowl moments if you want. I got one for you, but I'm going to hold it off. Maybe let's get a little bit of action on today's slate. And guys, we're putting them last, certainly not least in my book. His name's Jeff Nadeau, Big Man on Campus, at Jeff Nadeau on Twitter. Jeff, the floor is yours, man. Appreciate you taking the time and joining us here on the Hustle Show podcast.
Well, it's good to see you guys. Drew, you and I go way back. I mean, I remember Drew and I was 340 pounds at one point, and I remember Drew and I used to do shows together. We had a great time. Remember Big Man's Buffet, Betting Buffet, Drew? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. A little late night action. Ago.
I know there's a lot going on with me right now. However, this is the great time to get me on because I've been crushing it. I've hit 15 of 18 overall. I'm on fire in a lot of different sports. So, Adam, you called me at the right time. Happy to be here.
I saw you had a Turkish. I saw you were hitting games in Turkey the other day, Jeff, baseball games. You're on a nice little run right now.
Yeah, I'm all over the place. I'm in the NBA. I'm in Turkey. I'm in Ireland. I'm in Scotland. I'm in, baseball. You know, I'm even in the New York Post recently. So it's the best. Everything's going right.
Well, Jeff, where should we start off, man, with any big games? If you're all over the place, I mean, should we start off in Europe? Should we start off here on the diamond? Where do you want to go?
Well, I think baseball is such a grind. Maybe we just get that out of the way, right? I mean,
okay.
What do you think? Let's do it.
Yeah, we can do it. I mean, we got some night slates here. Usually the Thursday slates are early, and we do have a couple games already going, one going right now. But the night slate is there. I mean, the Astros and Blue Jays, we got Red Sox, Guardians, we got Tampa Bay. I mean, I'm guessing you're not betting against them if you've won 15 of your last 18, man. It's the raise or pass for me. What games did you have circled?
Yeah, that's kind of been my feel. One game, well, actually a few games that I had a thought on. I mean, one of which that jumped out, it's kind of back and forth between 9.5 and 10. You want 9.5, you're going to have to probably play 120. But I'm looking at this quietly. It almost seems like we've forgotten about the Arizona Diamondbacks. But quietly, they've been a really good offensive group. this season. You know, you look at Washington, look, they're not going to blow you away offensively, but I mean, all due respect, these are two pitchers that I don't really have much interest in backing. You have two bullpens here that aren't very good. I know that's a park out there that's kind of more pitcher friendly, but I look at both these teams. I kind of felt like when I looked at this early on, there was some smarter money coming in on it. I mean, Patrick Corbin, I haven't trusted probably ever. He was a guy last year that was horrific. He almost reminded me of hearing Adam's throwing up stories when I watched him pitch. Zach Davies hasn't been very good either for Arizona. I just have been quietly impressed with this lineup for Arizona. It's a higher total, but I've seen it's gotten bet up. So I think if you can find a 9.5, I have some interest. One other one, maybe I'll partake a little bit late in Giants-Rockies. Logan Webb, I'm a big fan of. But in looking back into last year's performances at Coors, we know Coors can be a bomb box ballpark. He wasn't exactly like unhittable. That's just a place where pitchers go to have trouble, regardless of how good you are. We've seen pitchers struggle there for years. It's a high one and it's always hard, but you know, Siebold, I'm not really looking to back either. He's not a guy that I'm running to think is going to shut down any lineup either. Are these two of the best offenses in the league? No, but I mean, 11 runs there is like 7 or 8 anywhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. Not looking to, go against you in Coors there. And I'd like your look towards the over in Washington, the nation's capital here. And I actually touched this on the side here, Jeff. I like the D-backs. You were kind of saying some nice things there about their offense. Well, it's showing in terms of their wins, losses. They've won 7 of 9 heading into tonight. And Washington's lost 6 of 8. Something I like to do on the diamond, guys, is, hey, ride the hot and fade the cold. So that's kind of in play here on the D-backs. We can get them as low as -115 here. So the slightest of favorites as the road team. And Arizona, one of the best teams in the National League record-wise. Heck, if they win tonight and Atlanta loses, I think they will have the best record in the National League. So it's very surprising to this point in the season, Jeff.
I mean, Drew, last night, I'll just kind of throw this out there. I mean, last night, 10-5. I mean, two games earlier this season, 9-8, 8-7. I mean, these games have been high scoring. I definitely would lean that way. I guess my kind of thought is, why is this number coming down a bit? But you're going to have a lot of base runners in this game. It could really be defined late in one of those wild, you know, 9-8 type of games or something. I mean, you look at the whips for both these pitchers, there's going to be a lot of base runners. So, I definitely think the Diamondbacks are the lean here. I like the over as well.
Jeff, I want to ask you one question, man. You bring up the line movement and maybe that worrying you. Is that a big part? I mean, you've been doing this for a while. You bring up, we go way back. You've been a better, successful one at that for quite some time. Does that matter to you personally, and does it change per sport?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if I see something that just doesn't really look right to me, I mean, look, I'm just going to say it. I don't think I'm foreseeing a lot of bettors coming in and taking a 25 and 35 team. It's just kind of numbers to me. And if I see a game open at where I kind of think it is, and I kind of see it backtracking yet, you know, it's just kind of all a feel to me. And you're right. I don't bet a lot of like the great teams, the Tampas, the Yankees. I'm kind of looking at grabbing these, you know, like last night I grabbed Boston. Shane Bieber's great, but I just find long-term, I don't really trust in some of his metrics. And, you know, I like that lineup for Boston. I like, you know, kind of their starter last night too. So it's just kind of finding spots. And if I see a number where the whole world's coming in and going to back a team, but the number's going the opposite way, kind of has me wonder a little bit.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, speaking of not jumping on the top teams and a team maybe riding under the radar, a guy that likes to do that is Adam Trigger. Trig, you hit that big play on the Brewers. Not that they're a bottom team by any means, but I'm actually looking to go against them tonight. And I know that each night is very different, but I'll throw it over to you, man. What do you got circled on today's card?
Well, Drew, I mean, that's really how I think. Personally, I think that's how you bet baseball, right? Like you're probably like, for, I'll just give you a good example. For the last couple of weeks, I've sort of been preaching, you can't just bet against the Oakland A's. Like you missed your opportunity to do that, right? Like,
right.
And you know, a lot of people, you just keep betting against this team. They're historically bad. Well, they were off to a historically bad start, but now the market has moved so far in one direction. If you've been doing that for the last week or so, you're definitely down money, right? Like, because of what you would have had to lay in the Braves series And then, of course, the Pirates series, you know, they didn't, the Pirates didn't cover the 1.5 in a single game in this series. So you can't just, and it just, the flip side is the good teams that are perceived to be good are always going to be priced where they shouldn't be. So it very similar to what Jeff was saying. And just to comment on, you know, the play Jeff talked about, of course, you guys know, I like Diamondbacks was my biggest season win total over. Couldn't be happier with how this team has started. But one weakness on that team, I've watched a ton of D-backs baseball this year. The bullpen, very thin. And if there is one sort of concern for me with that Arizona team, and if they can sustain and continue like sort of the trajectory they're on, it's not the offense, because they've got a ton of team speed. They'll sort of grind out runs. Like they'll get a guy on base, steal, and then they find a way to knock him in. But, you know, the bullpen is an issue. And so that, I would actually agree with Jeff. I'd much rather have the over in that game tonight than the Diamondbacks on the side. I guess I'll just kind of go. So I was going to talk about the White Sox in this spot. So just so you guys, I mean, it's pretty much common knowledge at this point. White Sox, Yankees canceled. Phillies, Tigers also canceled. So I'll just talk quickly about the Cardinals, because I kind of see a lot of the same things going on in this game. So didn't make my official card, but I do think there's value on the Cardinals tonight. And I guess I'll just give like an overview of what I think I want to do with these teams going forward. Now, I've been sort of beating the drum for the Cardinals all year. They keep making me look stupid on this show, Drew, because I come out and say, hey, this is the week where the Cardinals are going to turn the corner, and then they go and lose five straight. But they're amazingly, they're the only team in the National League Central that doesn't have a negative run differential, yet they're in last place and they're 12 games under 500. The Cardinals with runners in scoring position the last 2 weeks hitting under 200. It's been their issue all year. But they had an uptick in May at one point, and it was because they started hitting with runners in scoring position. So I do think there's value on the Cardinals on the money line tonight, just from the respect that you're getting a plus price. But the Rangers are the other side of that. In my opinion, you have to sell the Rangers right now. This is, you missed your opportunity to bet the Rangers. They've already peaked in value, and they are far and away leading the league with hitting and runners in scoring position. You've got John Gray has looked like Sandy Koufax the last month. Like this guy is he's a 4 ERA type guy like the past few years. There's going to be regression somewhere. It could start tonight against the Cardinals team that's seen him a little bit. Very well could start tonight. But, you know, I couldn't get to the window with the Cardinals for a rated play here. But it's certainly the way I would lean in this game. If you just want a value play based on, like, knowing you're taking a good number, Cardinals plus money in this game, in my opinion, is a good number. So I think you could do a lot worse on this slate of games tonight than Cardinals. And they're gonna start winning a couple of these games sooner or later. I think they've lost 4 or 5 in a row. So anyway, going forward, I'm still looking to play on the Cardinals. But even more so, I'd be looking to fade the Rangers, because I just – the market has moved too much. They're priced as the elite of the elite, and I still don't think that this Rangers team, while good, is the cream of the crop. So I'd have to play against them.
I'll also just say one thing, if I can. I know Adam touched on, like, games being canceled. I would have to think this would probably extend into tomorrow as well. And a lot of people say, well, why? Because I'm looking at the radar. There's no rain. I mean, I live in the Philadelphia area. The air is terrible. I mean, it's like you're in a smoky bar or something. These wildfires in Canada are – I mean, I think New York is the most, the worst air quality on the planet right now.
I'm outside of Syracuse. So I live in Oneida. I'm 30 minutes outside of Syracuse. It's awful. I'm shocked it took them so long to cancel that game. I thought they would have just made that decision earlier today.
Yeah.
BP, I know you're up there too, man. How's the weather and what do you got circled on the card?
Yeah, the weather is, I mean, you know, there's okay. I mean, I guess it came on the message after I was done. You know, this morning we got the little message like air quality, poor. You wouldn't know by looking outside. It's a nice little June afternoon here in Cleveland. But I'm going to talk about the same game Trigg just talked about. I got a wager for you. You don't have to wait very long to hit, hopefully. And it is the Yerfie in Cardinals Rangers. So this is a series where I've had mixed results. I bet both games, Drew. I won with the Rangers Monday. Then I outsmarted myself. I came back with the Cardinals last night, and that lost, even though they jumped out to the 2-0 lead in the first inning. You know, I thought that, honestly, they may have deserved to win that first game, too. They ran themselves out of the eighth inning when they had a chance for the go-ahead run. Didn't score it, and Texas walked it off in the ninth. So we've had a split so far in this series. But I mentioned the two runs St. Louis has scored. Oh, by the way, we're still up 67.5 units since last October, so we're doing okay. But speaking of the first inning, I am looking at the Yerfie as the Rangers go for the three-game sweep tonight. Everybody knows, Trigg just hit on it, don't need to tell, the Rangers offense has been ridiculous this year. They're number one in MLB in scoring at 6.4 runs per game. They're averaging 7 per game here at home. Are they going to be able to maintain that over a full season? No, but I think they can, they're capable certainly of scoring maybe tonight at least one run in the first inning, and they're going against Flaherty, who is not very good when you look at traditional or advanced metrics. I'd be very surprised if the Rangers went three games in a row without scoring a first inning run. And maybe if they do, well, Trigg hit on John Gray possibly being due for regression. Check this out, guys. His ERA, 2.59, okay? But his expected ERA is up at 4.31. So there is regression there, as Trigg hinted on. And St. Louis's offense, for all their struggles this year, yes, they've struggled with runners in scoring position, but the offense isn't that bad. It's been a lot better at home than on the road, but they're eighth in WOBA, eighth in WRC+. So this isn't a terrible lineup. I think we're going to get, between these two teams, Drew, at least one run on the board tonight here in Arlington. Bet the Yerfie between the Cardinals and Rangers, I say.
It's like ripping off a Band-Aid, my man. Just one inning in, you know, like that. Yeah. Guys, we got best bets coming to you. A reminder, we're brought to you by Viva Tequila Seltzer, vivatequilaseltzer.com. Hustle 20 at checkout takes 20% off your order. Viva, we flavored our tequila seltzer because flavor, the spice of life. And we like our drinks with a kick, just as we like to live our lives. Jeff Nadeau, man, have you seen any Vivas there around Philadelphia? Have you had a chance to try these?
Well, the tequila seltzers, the seltzers in general are popping nowadays. I have seen this, absolutely. Great name, too. I love that name. As a man who loves to imbibe at this point in my life, and that could compare to some of the issues I've had with certain throwing up, which I know we don't want to talk about anymore, but I have seen that. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Good to see it's actually growing, and more people are seeing it. It's down here in Florida as well. I mean, yeah, the whole throw up theme, I guess it's part of the show here. I mean, you guys were like, seemed like you could count the number of times you've thrown up. Like during my college years, I couldn't get within a realm of how many times I threw up, man.
Go back to that, sure. Yeah, yeah, I was talking about now that I'm in my 40s, I don't throw up so much anymore. Okay. Drew. I mean, yeah, I mean, okay, I when I was like...
About a month ago, I threw up. I had two, like, I champagne will get you, man. It'll get you bad.
Yeah, it will. Yeah, don't drink a lot of that.
That was one of the worst nights of my life. I felt like I was in solitary confinement, and it was rough. Real bad.
Yeah, man, whenever I'm at like a wedding or like New Year's and they start pouring that, Jeff, I just take one and I sip it a couple times and I go back to whatever I was drinking. I don't like chug that stuff.
No interest. Not again.
Yeah, for sure, man. Hey, and hey, big man on campus, it's good to see you, bro. Like, just doing shows with you. We, Jeff and I, like you said, go way back. I got to ask you, have you started doing any, like, college football prep or NFL? You got anything you want to throw out there? It's starting to tickle your fancy?
I'm pretty deep in the halls of Division I. You know, I think as you all of you guys know, whether it's Brian, Adam, you – I mean, this is a 24-hour, 365-a-day-year thing. You know, and when the national championship comes in college football, I mean, you just maybe off for a month, but then you're right back and getting ready for spring. And, you know, with college basketball and this transfer stuff nowadays, I mean, it's just keeping adept as to what's going on and where people are at this point. But, you know, I'm looking, and I don't want to go square, but I will. I mean, I just kind of – jump in a little. I mean, Michigan, I'm very excited about this year. We really, I think, are into that sweet spot of Mr. Harbaugh. I mean, we saw there was a possibility maybe you're going to move on from him at one point. You know, they're kind of sick of this 90s style offense, but they've really come into their own. Obviously, they had success last year. And I thought defensively, I thought they'd really take a step back. I'm not talking about they'd be top 50. I thought they'd be like top 20. This is one of the best defense in the country yet again. You're bringing back a high-level quarterback, a great running back in Corum, you know, great receiver group, a good offensive line. I'm very excited. And with Ohio State, look, I know they always reload, but I think Michigan's going to get into those one of those really good sweet spots. And I know we're talking about a top 14, but I'm really excited about this group this year. But yeah, talking about football gets you excited. I mean, it's not too far off, Drew.
Oh, no, not at all. And I'm just doing like surface level handicapping here on the Wolverines. Yeah. I mean, you got to go, what, 9 weeks before? I mean, I always try to go like, are they going to be favored? Are they going to be you get pretty far into the schedule before, you know, they'll be playing like competitively priced games. Right, Jeff? I mean, look at they don't play Penn State until November 11th and then Ohio State November 25th. Outside of that, man, it's like Bowling Green, ECU, UNLV.
That was their schedule last year, too. I mean, I looked at the schedule and I said, where does the loss come from? And I kind of just highlighted, as all of us will kind of do, that last game of the season. And they have owned that series last couple of years. Yeah, that was my thought when I looked at this group. And, you know, again, you know, Ohio State's always going to get, you know, have great high-level talent. But, I mean, Harbaugh's really impressed me. I wasn't the biggest fan of his for a while, but he's definitely zoomed in on what I thought he would be.
BP, I see the Michigan jersey there. Yeah. I feel like you got to throw something in.
Wait, Brian, are you a Michigan guy? Like, are you in the Ohio part of like Michigan territory, or like what's the deal there?
So I grew up. My dad is not from Ohio originally, so I didn't like necessarily grow up with like loving the Cleveland sports teams. And like Cleveland, like once Ohio State got good, everyone in Cleveland jumped on the Ohio State bandwagon. But that was like when I was growing up, like Michigan beat Ohio State every single year. And it was actually basketball that got me to Michigan, like the Fab Five. Like I was in grade school when the Fab Five came. So like that drew me naturally to Michigan. I just started liking the football team as well. But yeah, Michigan, like I've tried to get fandom out of it almost entirely.
Sure.
But yeah, I always still get fired up when Michigan plays Ohio State. And you know, last year was just a beautiful thing, you know? And so, yeah. Good stuff. But I wanted to say, to Jeff's point about the schedule, I know they at least had one game scheduled. I don't know if it was a home and home, but like they had something with UCLA, I know at least last year, that got canceled, Michigan. And that's why like they wound up with like Connecticut on the schedule, I believe. So I can't remember if that was a home and home, but that might be why the schedule, the non-conference, is weak again this year.
I think, again, for us bettors, it's like, well, great. You know, that'll just mean, I think, probably a big spread and one that I love laying big numbers. I mean, Drew, you know that. I'll lay, you know, I've laid huge. I will just say one other thing. Stanford is going to be horrid. I mean, that's a bad football team.
Yeah,
I mean,
they
may not win a game. I mean, you look at the schedule. I mean, I know I'm not saying that they shouldn't beat Sac State. Sacramento State's a good FCS team. I mean, you got to go to Hawaii right out of the gate. I mean, that's just a brutal first game. So, I think they'd struggle.
Don't sleep on FCS teams covering numbers against teams like Stanford either. Like, that's a great bet at the first couple weeks of the year every time.
I wonder what the spread's going to be for that, though. Like, you know, like, we're not, like, the only four people thinking about it in the world.
Right? Sure.
Well, I think
in the room.
I remember a couple of years ago, this is probably the memory, 2016 – ECU played North Carolina A&T. It was very good. They were like 6-point favorites, lost the game outright. And Drew, I think I remember we did a panel, you and I, me, you, and Joe Lisi, of all people. And I said that game, and I always remember that. Adam's dead right. There's a lot of upsets in those games because the really bad Division I teams, they're not that much better than these top level FCS teams. Yeah. So,
like, you can circle an Iowa team to not cover against an FCS team like every year.
That's good.
Pretty much every year.
Yeah, I don't know why they schedule those games. It's ridiculous. But yeah, I also think there's a D1 AA or whatever they're calling it now, like making a jump up. I think Jacksonville State, a couple others, and some of those when they make the jump up do really well. So that's another thing to kind of watch here. And Jeff, one thing I remember from our past shows, man, is like the armies, the navies of the world, I used to always go against them, and you were the person that put me onto that. And sure enough, they've a lot of times they're money makers. Like, you go back the last 5-10 years.
I think if you're a gambler, you have to kind of respect, I mean, you should always respect the military, but you should surely respect the military schools when it comes to football betting. I mean, it is they're just more prepared a lot of the time. They go through routines. It's, you know, they don't make mistakes. They're always very low penalty wise. They're just dependable a lot of the time. But you find those things over the years. You just kind of stick to them. But it gets you going when you talk about football, doesn't it? It's exciting.
Especially as underdogs too. Like that's where if they're getting more than one score of certain, I remember, what was that bowl game last year? Did Air Force play Baylor or something like that in a bowl game last year?
Yeah. Okay. Baylor, Baylor got killed.
I had Air Force. Cause I was like, to your point, Drew, you're talking about the college days. I was in college once too. It's like, who would want to prepare for that Air Force offense, like a one-off bowl game, if you're in college and it's like right before Christmas. Like, you know, my TED talk trick, just quit, just throw in the towel and don't try. And that's what Baylor plays good. Why are they going to why in a one-off game are they going to like work on defending like the triple option? Right. So like, that's the thing.
I'll just throw this out there for anyone curious about this. Since 2013, 10 years. Okay. Now, again, I will bring this up because it involves the Naval Academy. Naval Academy is the best against the spread team in the country. 73-51.
No way.
So
I believe it.
You have a JMU above them, but like the sample size, 120 games, Navy.
I love that stat, Jeff. Yeah. I mean, preparing for it, the kids don't quit. They don't make many mistakes. It like all kind of is coming together. Yeah. And shout out to at Jeff Nadeau on Twitter, putting that, at least me on it many years ago, making a little bit of money.
And they slow the tempo down too. Obviously they limit possessions. That's that's the hard thing. Yeah. They just hog the ball. They have the ball.
It'll be interesting to see, but going off that point, because they fired Kendi Amatalolo is gone now, which is, he's been there forever. So I'm sure they won't divulge much away from that, but, it's interesting to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. And to your Stanford point, Jeff, one thing I remember him, their old coach, talking about it, like the transfer portal has affected different teams. It's a little tougher on like the Stanfords of the world, because when kids are transferring, they can pretty much, you know, if you want to go to, you know, the big schools out there, you can just go to them if they'll accept, you know, if you can play football at that caliber. However, it doesn't work the other way around. Like not every transfer can get into Stanford and those type of teams. So it's really affecting them in a negative way, the really high academic universities like that.
We saw that in basketball with there's so many recruits now. There was Caleb Love, who was going to go to Michigan. He couldn't get in academically, so he left and went somewhere else. But you're right, the rigors of that. It's also not exactly the sexiest school to play for, is it? I mean, you have Brian, or what was his name? David Shaw was kind of stuck as well in the 90s with how he played football. So, I mean, you would much rather go to UCLA, USC, you know, even like San Diego State nowadays is a decent program. So,
Stanford gets no one shows up to Stanford. Like there was a couple games last year. They had 3,000 people in the stadium. So they have no home field advantage. It's like it's not a good situation.
I think they're like academic schedules on some weird thing, because isn't school like not in session even the first couple weeks of Stanford? I think that's the problem. Like where like the kids aren't even on campus like the first couple weeks. I couldn't.
And that's
wrong,
the problem that like Cal has as well. They're very similar too. Their schedule academically stuff. And also like if you're gonna go to the Pac-12, you want to go play for like Deion Sanders maybe or hiring a guy from Eastern Washington, which is who they hired. Again, cool, but you're going to get those types of athletes, the kids that weren't good enough to play in D1. And you're going to have trouble for a season or two. This is, again, why hiring coaches is the most important thing in college sports. It's the culture. It's the way they do things. It's the recruiting. It's so important compared to pro stuff.
And you even brought it up, Jeff. I feel like I have to ask you, Coach Prime, what Colorado, what's their win total at? 4? Any thought? You got to have something, man. You got to have some feeling on the Buffaloes.
Well, see, you know, the thing that I have a concern about is are they actually getting the best talent at this point, right? Because we saw a lot of kids leave there. And I'm not saying Shador Sanders isn't the real deal, but, I mean, you know, we'll see how he measures up. It's not going to be something I'm going to bet preseason. I mean, I might bet them from game to game if I see kind of it's working there. But, you know, when I look at LeBron James Jr., I think if his name was LeBron Smith, I think he'd be a three-star player. It's just that simple. I think the fact that Shedeur Sanders is Deion's kid, I think maybe his value is a little bit higher than it should be, and I wonder how good he is, and this is stepping up to the big leagues. It's the SWAC against the Pac-12 now, so we'll see. I wouldn't bet it preseason. I'm sure you know Brian and Adam would agree.
Yeah, that's such a huge difference.
Well, they're going to be inflated. They're like, going to be a public team. They're going to be a Colorado's going to be a public team for the first time in forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Until they're not, though. That's the thing. Like, until they're not, right? Like, if it doesn't work out and all of a sudden they come out and they're just losing, like, and losing and losing, like, at some point, people are going to jump off and then there's probably going to be value there. So you just have to, like
Like, the first couple of weeks of the season, like, TCU, I mean, that's tough. Nebraska, I mean, they're better than they've been in years past. I would not be and Brian and Adam are totally right. I'm not laying points with them. If they're a dog in midseason, maybe. But, like, as Brian said, they're going to be way overvalued because all this stuff that doesn't matter is going to seep into the brains of people out there. This is still a really horrific football team. And a lot of those kids, maybe they're gone. But it's still going to have trouble chemistry-wise and all that stuff. So, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with what they're saying.
And one thing looking at their schedule, Jeff, is, like you said, TCU, Nebraska, Colorado State, Oregon, USC, Arizona State. Like, half of their schedule, what I'm getting, it might not be the toughest, but what it is it's all competitive, meaning, like, they're difficult to figure out. I totally agree with you on like how talented are they. But the thing is, if they aren't that talented, all of those teams are at least decent. So they might go 0-6. However, if they are really talented, they might go, I don't know, 5-1, you know, 4-2, something like that.
There's also a major problem with win totals with this group as well, because when you bet a win total, let's say 3-4, you need those gimme games. You need the Gardner Webb, the Jacksonville State, even, you know, like they'll get a win against like, I don't know, I'm sure Cal and groups like that. But, you know, Oregon State is significantly better than they've been in years past. I mean, a lot of these teams, there's no gimme games in this non-conference schedule here. I mean, you got TCU and Nebraska. That's Big 12 and Big 10. That's rough. So you don't have it. He definitely didn't do the team any favors. He didn't schedule, you know, Mississippi Valley State here like he probably could have.
God, yeah, I want to bet against TCU every week, though.
Yeah.
This year, let's do it. Let's do it all again for fun one time after they kept like screwing me over in the end of the games last year. But
they screwed everybody over.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, college football, it's always fun. Like you said, Jeff, get you pumped up. Guys, we got best bets coming up for tonight's slate. But plus I guess we got to hit on the NBA finals game here. Game number 3. I think Brian Power has something, but Trigg, we haven't gotten the talk time from Trigg like we normally do, man. I'll throw it over to you. Final thoughts for the show, best bets, anything you want to throw out?
Drew, some people would appreciate that, so, you know, but that's okay. I have I'll give my best bet. Korean baseball, like, this is what, like, why I do Korean baseball, right? I feel like I have an edge here. It's like Jeff was talking about with, if he tells me that he's got a soccer game in Ireland, I'm not even going to ask questions. It's just like I know he's probably, you know, ahead of that. And I like to think that I stay ahead of it in Korean baseball as well. Had a 14-3 Korean baseball run snap this morning, so hopefully we're getting back in the win column. This will go tomorrow morning. This is Thursday morning, 5:30 a.m. Eastern time, and this is one of my client plays. This is a 4% play for me. I am on the Lotte Giants, and this has moved a little bit. I gave this out at -135. I think it's up to -150. I would still bet it there. Some names you're going to recognize. Dan Straley on the mound for Lotte Giants. He started to pitch. Yeah, he started to pitch much better than he did at the beginning of the season. So he's actually been over in Korea for a while. And he started to turn a corner as far as this season is concerned. Really good last time out. He's averaging close to a strikeout per inning, you know, on the year now. And I think he probably kind of, you know, navigates this KT Wiz lineup without much issue. Anthony Alford, another name that you might recognize from his time in Major League Baseball, he's still hurt. He's still out. And even though KT's on a little bit of a winning streak, I just, like, not having Alford in the lineup against what we call an import pitcher, right? It's one of the foreign-born pitchers that are typically former Major League Baseball players, can be tough. That can be a difficult thing because that's one of the guys, like, Straley can overpower guys, especially like some of the, you know, guys like, let's say, 6 through 9 in the lineup. A guy like Straley is going to be able to overpower them. So not having Alfred in the lineup for KT puts them at a big disadvantage. On the other side, Lote is going to get back Zachary Rex, former Texas Ranger. He spent some time on a couple different big league teams. He's been one of the better hitters over there. Definitely one of the best hitters on Lote's team. And now, you know, he came back over the weekend from a couple weeks of being out with an injury. But not only is he a great hitter, but he's a great left-handed hitter. And I really think that that's key for this matchup. You know, so I do a Twitter Spaces with my friend Freddie. We're actually going to do it later tonight. And we've hit a lot of these points the past couple weeks. But Jaesung Bae is, if you listen to my Spaces, is a guy I've mentioned a couple different times, where from 2029 to 2021, he pretty much he pitched as good as he possibly could have for his skill set, meaning he had a whip in the 1.4 range, but he kept his ERA under 4, and just with extremely good like BABIP luck, like runners in scoring position not scoring. He's not a guy that has like unreal sort of like strikeout stuff. So I look at that and I can only think one thing. Guy got really, really lucky, was on some really good teams that played really good defense. This year so far, 4.57 ERA, 1.68 whip. That's kind of what I expect him to be for his stuff. And I don't think that really gets any better, especially because this is going to be the third time this season Lote has seen him. And as you guys know, in Major League Baseball, the familiarity thing is huge. There's only 10 teams in Korean baseball. So it really, if you just don't have deception or you're a one-trick pony, right? Like when teams start to get to see you 3-4 times, it's really tough if you're not like a guy that can go to your second and third pitches. And that's what I think we have here. Lote knocked him around last time, and now their lineup is healthy. And Lote is second in the KBO. They're averaging 4.61 runs per game. A good offensive team. And then not to mention, this would be the third of three games in this series. So Lote is going to be trying to avoid a sweep here. The first two games were very close, and KT really burned through their sort of high-leverage bullpen arms in those games. So I love how this sets up for Lote. I think Straley is far and away the better starter. Lote is now healthy. I think they're going to knock around Bae because he's just, I don't think he's a great pitcher, and they've done it in the past. And I think you're going to get the better, you know, high leverage arms from Lote. They're trying to avoid a sweep. I agree with the line move. I would still play it even at minus 150. I fully expect Lote to win this game, and hopefully we're back in the win column in KBO.
Adam Trigger straight off 5% winner last night. Speaking of 5% winners, they're up and available for tonight. And Brian Power in with one at wagertalk.com. Brian, any best bets for the show and final thoughts here, man?
Yeah, let's go from Korean baseball to the Champions League. We're you never know what's coming here on The Hustle. And this is a play I gave out this morning with Prez and Teddy on Wage Talk Today. And guess what? I still like it later in the afternoon. We're taking a look at Inter Milan plus 1.25 goal in the final here. I want to talk about how this match is priced relative to some of Man City's previous matches. For those who are unfamiliar or less familiar with soccer, Man City is trying to do something that has not been done in nearly 25 years. That is win the Premier League, the FA Cup, and the Champions League all in the same year. It's called the treble. They've already got two of them. They won the Premier League. They won the FA Cup last weekend. Now they got one more to go in the bank. And so, of course, they're priced high. They're north of minus 200 for this match on the three-way line, which is higher than they closed at home against Bayern, higher than they closed at home against Real Madrid, and it's higher than where they closed at a neutral site, Wembley Stadium, against Man United last weekend. I know United took some late money, but City still ended up winning 2-1, and I know that one goal was kind of a gift penalty from VAR, but Inter, guys, I think, is as good as those other aforementioned teams, and they're not being priced like it. I mean, the Opta power rankings, I'm not saying we need to, like, you know, go up to the top of the mountain and chisel this in stone, but they've got Inter top three in the world right now, like right on level with Bayern Munich. So like Inter should not be where they're at on the three-way line. And I also, so it's opened up a chance where we can get a goal and a quarter. I'll explain what that is for those who may not know in a minute, but none of those other sides, you could get more than a goal on the spread. So I like Inter plus the spread here. I do not see them losing inside 90 minutes in stoppage time by more than a goal. I think they can quite frankly force extra time. So it would be level after 90 minutes plus stoppage time. They didn't win Serie A, but this was to me down the stretch, the best team in Italy. They won 11 of 12 overall, outscoring the competition 29-9 on aggregate. The only loss during that stretch came with a rotated squad, meaning they sat starters because they were sandwiched in between the Champions League semi and the Coppa Italia final. So I think this is a bargain to get more than a goal with Inter Milan, who is probably the second best team. I mean, you know, this is the biggest match in Europe. And I mean, you could make an argument they're the second best team. City's obviously number one, but City, I think fitness is an issue because they played a meaningful match, obviously, over the weekend against United in Wembley. Well, Inter, they had a backup goaltender, and it was just a ho-hum victory against Torino in the league. So I like Inter plus a goal and a quarter. That means it's a half win if they do lose by one goal. But I don't think they're going to lose by one goal inside 90 minutes of stoppage time. I think it's level. Take the goal and a quarter with Inter. That's the best bet.
Thanks for that, Brian Power. Trig, if you don't mind, when you're doing all that with your papers, if you could just press mute. No, sorry. It's all good, man.
I'm on a different mic. I have different headphones than I usually have because my earbuds died, and I think this mic is picking that up. So sorry about that.
No, it's all right, man. As we head from the continent of Asia to the continent of Europe and now to North America, guys, I'm getting on the diamond here, and it's Fade Corbin Burns Day in the Milwaukee Brewers. If you've been doing that, you've been making a ton of money. Jumping on the Baltimore Orioles, guys, about plus 125 right now. Corbin Burns, look, former Cy Young winner. His strikeout rate is down, FIP and ERA up. He hasn't been the same pitcher really at all this season. And jumping on the O's, what, the second best team on the road with a 20-11 road record. And hey, Milwaukee, yeah, at the top of their division. However, a minus 20 run differential. Therefore, I think it's the wrong team favored here. I'm on the O's plus the 125 here for my best bet. So we're trying to go around the globe here, Jeff Nadeau. Not sure if you got anything else off the radar, man. But hey, also the floor is yours if you want to. Any final thoughts here for the show, big man on campus, yeah. Jeff Nadeau. Have at it.
It's great to come on with you guys. It's fun. It's nice to just get into some sports talk, betting talk with some really great handicappers. I want to comment quickly on Brian's play with Inter. I love that. I thought plus one at 2.07, essentially plus 107. I thought that was a good play. I think this is a very compact match. I think if Man City scores somewhat early, I think that could be concerning if you're Inter, because Inter's going to just play back. They're a compact group. You know, Barella and those guys are just kind of fade back. They're not going to have the ball much in this game. And I know Brian mentioned that, you know, Serie A, they also, I think a lot of people will say, well, they got crushed by Napoli late in the season. Remember, Gagliardini got sent off in the 41st minute. That kind of opened that game up late. But I thought they played pretty well, even down to 10 men. Thus, I think they're still a really good team. They're great defensively. And it's tough to go up against Man City, but I kind of look at a draw in the first half. I could definitely see this game 0-0 at half, plus 140. I'm just going to kind of throw it all out there and assume this game is 1-1. I think Man City will likely win in extra time or in penalties, but I think Inter's really good. I agree with Brian. I will say best bet-wise, I'm going to go back to the well again with Bam Adebayo over points rebounds in this series. I just think it's pretty simple. Denver, while great team, they're just not very good against opposing bigs. And that's been made clear by Bam Adebayo's stat line. This is his best offensive season of his career. And I know a lot of people are going to point to the fact that he wasn't very good in the Eastern Conference Finals, but I think Boston did a much better job than Denver is going to do. You look at Bam, he's jumped off the floor, literally. I had him in game one over. I thought this number would be probably like 30, 31. It's 28.5. I think he's just really good. He's a great rebounder. You know, I think he'll probably get around 10 in this game. And you look at Jokic. We know he's great offensively, but again, they're just not very good against opposing bigs. Jimmy Butler said if they win this title, it'll be because of Bam Adebayo. I think Bam has another big game tonight.
Do you have any feeling on who wins the series, man?
Yeah, look, I mean, I still will lean Denver. I mean, Jokic is just so terrific. I love Jamal Murray. You know, Michael Porter. I, at one point in my career, said Michael Porter was the worst defender I'd ever seen at the NBA level. He's improved significantly on that level. You know, he's still not great, but he's in better. I like their supporting cast. I just think they find a way. I thought they'd been the best team. I bet them preseason to win the NBA Finals. I think they do it. But I don't think Miami, we know they're not going to go out down without a fight. They've been so good all playoffs. Eric Spoelstra's just the man. But, yeah, I'm going to still lean Denver on the series.
Okay. Ski Profit in the chat box. He says what's up. Also, Bam has been cashing assists, too. So maybe go that route, guys. We got City by the Bay. Shout out to you joining us live here, guys. Wednesdays, 5 o'clock Eastern time, the Hustle Show podcast, talking all things sports betting. Huge shout out to Jeff Nadeau. Jeff, anywhere you want to shout out, just on Twitter, best way to get after you at Jeff Nadeau.
Yeah, I would say just follow me there. I will say one other thing quick. One of the commenters, City by the Bay, is talking about Haaland is a big stud, we know, for Man City, but remember, Milan struggled with some of the height that Inter possesses in the box. I think Inter will be a very tough team to break down. I think they're going to do the proverbial park the bus type of strategy in this game, not try to get out and run up and down, because if they do, they'll lose this game. And I think Brian would agree with that. As far as following me, though, I'm just getting my ducks in a row right now. It's summer, enjoying my life, and we'll be ready for football. Who knows where we'll be by that point.
Yeah. City's not going to score in the opening like 5 seconds again like they did last week, and that was the most preposterous thing ever. I hadn't even turned on the match yet. It was already 1-0, so that's not going to happen again against Inter.
Hey, I will say one other thing before we go. I mentioned Ireland at the top of the show before we came on. That is a league in soccer that I have success with. Shamrock Rovers is the best team, and it's not close in this division. They're playing the worst team in the division. Coming up on Friday, they're playing a group called UCD, which is I forget what that stands for. I don't really care.
I think it's UC Dublin, right?
Yeah, right. UC Dublin, you're right. They've given up 45 goals in, I think, 17 matches. They're horrid. This is one of those games where I feel like you lay the 2.5, check it in 3 hours, and they win 4-0. They're scoring goals for fun right now. And as we talked about before we came on, in these leagues, you know, these good teams are just significantly better than these bottom level groups.
At Jeff Nadeau on Twitter. We heard from Trigg as well. Brian Power, end it, buddy.
And just to bring things full circle, I'll tell you what, buddy, you hang out 3 days in Dublin, that's a hard place not to puke. I'll tell you that much right now.
Good point.
Yeah. Yeah, no, a little of that Vegas hangover when Vegas got the hockey team, and then sure enough, guys, it might be something. Yeah, Temple Bar, that's a place. Yes. You can have a little bit of fun, and if you don't watch yourself throw up a little bit too much for the theme of the show, boom, 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 we'll be here all night. Now, at Jeff Nadeau on Twitter, at Top Flight SI, that's where you can find Trigg and Brian Power as well. WagerTalk.com, 5% plays up and available. VivaTequilaSeltzer.com as well, guys. Our flavors pair perfectly with our artisanal Blanco tequila for subtle and refreshing drinks. Our belief is to live long, live well, and live it up. Hashtag Viva Up. Again, promo code Hustle20 at checkout takes 20% off your order. Check out wagertalk.com. Free plays, premium plays, up and available. Best free live odds in the industry. For Jeff Nadeau, Adam Trigger, Brian Power, I'm Drew Martin. Thanks for tuning in. Feel free to reply below. Smash that like button. Cash those tickets, guys.